point does a baby get human rights?
Answering that question with specificity is above my pay grade.
Faith without works is dead. People need to carpool more. And because Americans are so overweight, it might not be too bad to walk more.
If I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday, August the 26th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the second hour of the program, Mark Strickert, author of the book Why the Democrats Are Blue, is our guest for the first half, and then in the second half, we've got audio open lines, some things to bring for you to you from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, a story on religion and politics, all the religion, all of the God talk going on, even at the DNC convention. It's amazing. And then a Fox News roundtable on the values voter and the 2008 presidential election, which is well underway. Of course, we're watching the Democrats in their full glory, beginning their convention yesterday, running through this week, culminating with the announcement of their presumptive candidate and his running mate, Barack Obama and Senator Joseph Biden. Are we watching a change in the Democratic Party? Is it going from what everyone has accepted it as being, the big tent, broad coalition of many different ideas, and a big tent that nonetheless has a hard place for people who are pro-life or overtly religious, into something else? We'll answer that question here in the next half hour of the program. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Mark Strickert is a journalist in Washington, D.C., contributor to GetReligion.org, and author of the book Why the Democrats Are Blue, Secular Liberalism and the Decline of the People's Party. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on, Todd. Congratulations for getting the show back on the air.
Thank you so much. What is a Reagan Democrat, and did Ronald Reagan create the Reagan Democrats, or did the Democratic Party create the Reagan Democrats?
Both are good questions. A Reagan Democrat in general is a working class person and or a Catholic Democrat, which had been the heart of the Roosevelt coalition, which had been the party's coalition from 1932 to 1968. Even longer up into the 19th century. These Reagan Democrats defected in the 1980 election principally on foreign policy issues in that race when Carter had seemed very weak on the hostages in Iran situation and a little bit also on economics when inflation and unemployment were double digits and a lot of the working class and Catholic Democrats thought, to heck with this. The Democratic Party's not getting it done for me. I'm going to go join the Republicans, specifically Ronald Reagan, who had appealed to them all the way really back to his 1966 candidacy for governor of California. And actually that race, I'm almost positive, was the origins of the Reagan Democrat, specifically the fact that the Democratic leaders were more interested in the young people and cultural liberals that were coming in and becoming a force in American society rather than the Catholics and working-class Democrats. I can go into that a little bit more if you like.
Well, why and when did the Democratic Party abandon the blue-collar, the Catholic voter?
It really started in 1969 when Fred Dutton, who had been the principal advisor to Governor Pat Brown, governor of California, who had been from in his 1966 reelection campaign, Dutton had advised Governor Brown to, well, actually he had said that you should be hard on these protesters in Berkeley, but Ronald Reagan had been really hard on the protesters at Berkeley, of campus disruptions, students taking over buildings. And Dutton, and when he was on this McGovern Commission, and I talk about in my book, he said specifically, we Democrats need to go after the young people, the anti-war protesters, the liberal feminists, and blacks, rather than the base of the party, the Catholics and the working-class Democrats. Specifically, what they did was, not to get into too much detail, but the quotas for the delegates, which still exist for women, for females, and in 1972 it existed for blacks and young people.
So
that's probably a little convoluted explanation, but half of the Democrats, the people who are actually at the convention, must be females. It's a hard quota, and that had been used by feminists to get their agenda through, and that agenda, which included abortion rights, turned off a lot of Catholics and working-class Democrats.
So what did the decline of the Democratic Party end up looking like?
What had been the decline of the Democratic Party?
What did that decline look like?
In terms of losing elections?
Yeah, in terms of not being able to win elections, and especially the White House.
Right. Well, the Democratic Party basically turns back on the largest constituency in America. That's the working-class whites. Back in the 60s, that was a majority of the population. Most voters didn't have a college degree. And even today, it's a plurality of the electorate, those without a college degree. And it's Republicans now who have those voters on foreign policy to some extent, economic issues less so, and definitely on cultural issues. And so here's the Democrats going after the more affluent, college-educated white voters rather than the downscale high school and community college educated Democrats. Most voters don't have a college degree. So in the Democratic Party, through the revolutions of this McGovern Commission, it opted for a more affluent, lesser part of the population of the electorate rather than the bigger, larger one.
Mark, I want your reaction, both as a Catholic and as a Democrat, to something that Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, had to say this weekend on NBC's Meet the Press. Here it is.
Senator Obama saying the question of when life begins is above his pay grade, whether you're looking at it scientifically or theologically. If he were to come to you and say, help me out here, Madam Speaker, when does life begin? What would you tell him?
I would say that as an ardent practicing Catholic, this is an issue that I have studied for a long time. And what I know is over the centuries, the doctors of the church have not been able to make that definition. And St. Augustine said at 3 months. We don't know. The point is that it shouldn't have an impact on a woman's right to choose. Roe v. Wade talks about very clear definitions of when the child, first trimester, certain considerations, second trimester, not so, third trimester. There's very clear distinction. This isn't about abortion on demand. It's about a careful, careful consideration of all factors in between, that a woman has to make with her doctor and her God. And so I don't think anybody can tell you when life begins, human life begins. As I say, the Catholic Church for centuries has been discussing this, and there are those who've decided.
The Catholic Church at the moment feels very strongly that it begins at the point of
conception. And this is like maybe 50 years or something like that. So again, over the history of the church, this is an issue of controversy. But it is also true that God has given us, each of us, a free will and a responsibility to answer for our actions. And we want abortions to be safe, rare. We want to reduce the number of abortions. That's why we have this fight in Congress over contraception. My Republican colleagues do not support contraception. If you want to reduce the number of abortions, and we all do, you must. It would behoove you to support family planning and contraception, you would think. But that is not the case. So we have to handle this as respectfully. This is sacred ground. We have to handle it very respectfully and not politicize it as it has been. And I'm not saying Rick Warren did, because I don't think he did, but others will try to.
Mark, first, your reaction as a pro-life Democrat.
Speaker Pelosi is misrepresenting Catholic teaching on this issue. In a serious error, as Archbishop Charles Chaput of Denver had said. From what I've read of Augustine, the great doctor of the church was talking, the 40 days that Speaker Pelosi referred to, was talking about ensoulment, which was a theological issue. Well, it had been from classical times up until really the early night, well, even up till today. But that's a different question as far as when does human life begin. Augustine is talking about ensoulment. That's a more of a theological issue. what the church has been consistently taught is that abortion as a is seriously wrong. It may not be murder, even the early doctors of the church were talking about, but it was a mortal sin that needed to be confessed and was always wrong. So Speaker Pelosi is really misrepresenting Catholic opinion, Catholic Church teaching on this. This isn't really surprising. Really, since the late 1960s, 70s, a lot of lay Catholics have decided they can decide for their own what church teaching is, regardless of whether their statements are true or not. For example, Jenna Jameson, the porn star, has said recently that she's a devout Catholic. I think any reasonable person would understand and realize that Jenna Jameson was wrong, in the same way that Speaker Pelosi is just wrong on the facts. So that's the state of that affairs.
When we come back from this break, we'll continue our conversation with Mark Strickertz, author of the book Why the Democrats Are Blue, Secular Liberalism and the Decline of the People's Party. I wonder if Speaker Pelosi's comments there on NBC's Meet the Press are an example of how the Democratic Party's become out of touch with its historical base. We'll answer that question after this. Your questions and comments are welcome as well. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 26th of August, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Or talk back at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org. And click on-demand audio.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Michael Erickson, Carla Meyer, Dale Skovgaard, Dirk Vanderlyn, Pastor Michael Aldemeyer, William Arm Jr., Joseph McCallie, Pastor Stephen Anderson, Brandon Weaver, and Dennis Polite. Thanks for your support.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are
my soul.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number as we talk with Mark Strickertz, journalist from Washington, D.C., contributor to GetReligion.org, and author of the book Why the Democrats Are Blue, about secular liberalism and the Democratic Party, even as the Democratic Party begins its national convention this week. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. That email address is for you to issue questions or comments right here in the studio in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Mark, let's talk about the positions that the Democratic Party has taken that has put it out of touch with blue-collar and especially Roman Catholic voters. What particular positions are we discussing?
Abortion would be the biggest one. The party's embraced not only Roe v. Wade as the party platform, but also federal funding of abortion. That's far out of step. And even though the party does now support in its platform plank federal funding of adoption services and health care, that's not going to make up for its position for abortion on demand and taxpayer-financed abortion. That's just out of step with Americans. And while it's true that the Republican position is too far to the right of American people, the Democratic Party position is way too far to the left. Gay rights is a problem, too. The party support for civil unions does hurt the party in a lot of the swing states, especially in the Rust Belt Midwest, where Americans in those states are not happy with the idea of gay rights. So those are the two big ones.
How did the Democratic Party become, or at least become perceived as, the pro-choice party?
Well, it gets back to this McGovern Commission that I talked about, went on from 1969 to 1972. It was created after the chaos of the 68 Democratic Convention with all the riots. And the idea of the commission was that the Democratic Party should be, its nomination system should be democratized. The people should control the party of the people. That was the ideal. The reality was different. The reality was that anti-war liberals on the commission created a bunch of procedures that rewarded the activist, liberal, anti-war wing of the party, specifically caucuses, in several states, and as I mentioned, these quotas for delegates. And both of those two procedures, the expansion of the caucus system and the delegate quotas, those rewarded the socially liberal, foreign policy liberal wing of the party on purpose. And as I should have mentioned earlier, Fred Dutton was quite honest in 1969 in writing about how he knew that the Democratic Party was going to loosen its ties with Catholics and blue-collar workers and form them with the young people and the feminists. And it's been true for 40 years. It's really the same old story. And the feminists, Gloria Steinem and Bella Abzug, used these procedures to help them, to their credit. I mean, they just did what any good politicians would do. They exploited them, but it's hurt the party.
And how did the Democratic Party also become at least perceived as the pro-gay party?
Gays just, I guess, piggybacked, you might say, on the gains of the feminists. They saw that the party was liberal on abortion, therefore would be liberal on gay issues.
Okay, then let's talk about the prospects of the future here. First of all, as you observe what's going on in the pageantry that is the Democratic National Convention in its meeting in Denver,
right.
Do you see a change in direction? Do you see anything different for the future being projected there?
No, the only change I really see is just on the rhetoric, on the vocabulary. There's been a lot of talk about how Democrats are changing their words and becoming more face-friendly. You've seen some of that last night and even over the weekend, as my good friend Molly Hemingway reported in National Review Online. But what you haven't seen really are the change in the policies. Change in the party platform on abortion is just really not that much of a step. I don't think it adds that too many more voters. It does not add really any Reagan Democrats who are conservative on issues such as foreign policy and economics in addition to cultural issues. And it doesn't really get many of the Casey Democrats who are very culturally conservative and see that as the number one issue. And even though those Casey Democrats are economically more liberal and populist, the abortion on demand and funding plank just does not go well over with these folks. I talk about this in the first chapter of my book. Went out to Western Pennsylvania. I was just knocking on doors, and you can see a lot of these folks that, you know, the abortion issue is just a fundamental problem with these people. And, but the prospect is really hard to say. I think the Democrats will have to lose this fall, and what they'll have to do is just democratize the party's nomination system and reduce the influence of the activists. The best case scenario is that the social conservatives would at least have a say in the party. They might be able to get their nominee through the process, however unlikely that may be. And the social conservatives and social liberals would have to battle it out every 4 years for who's going to win. But right now, the social liberals are completely winning. A more radical scenario would be that for the social liberals to be pushed out of the party and form a third party. That's unlikely, I think. But I think that one can make a good argument that pushing the social liberals out of the Democratic Party would help the party electorally. I mean, it certainly can hurt, considering the Democrats have lost six of the last nine presidential elections with this McGovern coalition, and I suspect that they Barack Obama will lose this fall, which would make it 7 out of 10.
1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesztc.org. Mike is listening in Chicago. Mike, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'll make it real quick. I'm not voting Democrat or Republican in this election. I'm voting for a third party. But from a neutral perspective, you know, I noticed that the Democrats have the NARAL president speaking. I know their platform is pro-choice, but don't they realize that how many people they're alienating by having that person speak at their convention?
Good question, Mike. Thanks for listening to Chicago. Mark?
No, I don't think they really do. They kind of get a little bit that they shouldn't be so hostile or not mention at all religious words and discuss the importance of God. They do get that, but just the change in the policy, the party platform, and as the caller says about having the president of NARAL address the Democratic convention, they just don't really get that. In 2000, for example, Kathy Ireland gave a speech on the second night of the convention, which would be tonight, the equivalent of tonight in prime time. The NARAL president is speaking as well. It's that's just the way the party is.
Two quick final questions. President Bill Clinton was able to portray himself as the new Democrat and to some great success. Has Barack Obama, will he be able to portray himself as the new Democrat? About 30 seconds.
No, I don't think so. Clinton had come, as you remember, from a conservative, even red state of Arkansas, and had run a bunch of elections there. Barack Obama has won exactly one statewide election in Illinois, which is a little bit leaning Democrat. But, no, there's a big difference between those two, and I don't see Barack Obama making any substantive changes in the party platform. What's benefiting Democrats is that the Republicans are so unpopular, as that caller says, especially on the war and the economy. The Republicans are too far to the right of the Americans on foreign policy and the economy, and that's what's helping Democrats right now.
So that leads me to the last question. Who do you think will win that Roman Catholic voter, Barack Obama or Senator John McCain, when the elections roll around?
Senator McCain, I think, almost positive, will win the white Catholic vote, and I think he'll win the Catholic vote overall, even including the Hispanics who are upset with the Republicans' position on immigration. But it'll probably be close, I would say, 50-48, maybe, something like that, with the overall Catholic vote. It's hard to say. Things change in politics just as they do in sports and in life, so please take my prediction with a grain of salt.
No, you've predicted twice that Barack Obama will not win this election. What could change that?
Barack Obama gives a major speech Thursday that really resonates with voters. John McCain makes a big gaffe, one beyond the fact that he doesn't know how many houses he lives in. I don't think that's really a substantive criticism of him. I mean, just things change. Anything could happen. The economy could go south. We could have a terrorist attack. It's just hard to say.
So do you expect anything different this week from the Democrats? About 30 seconds.
No, I don't see it. Barack Obama, his poll ratings have been sliding for about 3 weeks now, to the point that, according to Gallup, John McCain is actually ahead among nationally registered voters, 46% to 44%. So for him, in fact, his numbers went down when he picked Joe Biden. I just think the Democrats are going to need a whole new major evolution of their nominating system that rewards the more socially conservative working class wing of the party and lessen power from the upscale, affluent, more secular wing of the party. That's what I think that will have to change in the Democratic Party.
What if John McCain chooses a pro-choice running mate?
Right, well, that's a great point. Everything is thrown into the mix. Then it just becomes all hard to say, really hard to say. I think if McCain picks a pro-choice nominee, then a lot of the evangelicals and Catholics and even working class folks are demoralized a little bit. I mean, I think this will still favor McCain, but it's going to be harder to get out the activists who bring out the less activist-minded voters, if that makes sense.
Mark Strickers is a journalist in Washington, D.C., contributor to GetReligion.org, and author of the book Why the Democrats Are Blue, Secular Liberalism and the Decline of the People's Party. You'll find information on this book and Mark's blog on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org, click on demand, and you'll find information on Mark's book and a link to his blog. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. I really appreciate it. Have me on anytime.
Happy to do it. When we come back, I want to hear from you. There's been lots of faith talk at the DNC convention, even after one day. Are you buying it? 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Audio open lines after this.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Christian Publisher, fighting God's truth?
Answers with Ken Ham, president of the Bible Upholding Ministry of Answers in Genesis.
A teacher at a Christian school in Florida once wrote to us, and she was shocked that her Christian textbook taught her students to believe in millions of years and other evolutionary ideas. So the teacher wrote to the publisher expressing great concern. But you know, the reply she got was even more troubling. The Christian publisher not only presented evolution as fact, but aggressively attacked those who believe in a literal book of Genesis. For example, the publisher accused creationists of believing, quote, that God created the earth and all of its species as we see them today, end of quote. But you know that's wrong? Animals have gone through lots of speciation since they came off the ark. But it's important to understand that such changes have nothing to do with molecules to man evolution. The idea that the Bible supposedly teaches animals don't change or speciate is how almost all public schools indoctrinate students against believing in Genesis. But it's shocking to see this in Christian textbooks. The church and its schools need to be more vigilant than ever, standing for the authority of God's Word.
What do Muslims think about evolution? For a fascinating audio CD, contact our ministry to get the interview between Ken Ham and a former Muslim extremist. If you offer a donation of any size today, we'll send it out to you. Call us toll-free at 1-888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web, answersoffer.org.